Amen. Thank you for that special. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I know some of you are ready to move on from Christmas things, but I'm not, so we're not. Luke chapter 2. Now, there's some things surrounding the birth of our Savior and his early years that a lot of times we kind of move on past, I think, a little too quickly, and want to make sure that we cover them thoroughly before we move back into our study of Acts and 2 Corinthians. We've kind of been on pause for the holidays, and we'll continue to do that for a little bit. But Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick up at verse 39. And if you've missed the last couple of messages, let me try to update you a little bit. After Jesus' birth, he was, according to the law, circumcised on the eighth day, because every boy that was born was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And then Mary and Joseph went back to the temple again to make an offering according to the law after the time of her purification, which for boys was 40 days. If a woman had a boy, she had 40 days that she was unclean, and then she had to go to the temple to be ceremonially clean. They would offer an offering for that purification. And for boys, it was after 40 days. For girls, it was after 80 days, and some of you are wondering why the difference. I have no idea. It's what the law said. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 12. Some things we can find reasons for, and some things we just say, you know, God's in control, and he has a reason, and that's the way it is. So they performed all the things according to the law of the Lord. Mary and Joseph were devout. They were devout in their worship of God. They were devout in their service to the Lord, understanding that it's not just that God sees what's in our heart. He actually cares about what we do. And so they were obedient to do that. So then, here in verse 39, it says that after they performed all things according to law, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Now, some people would see that this was a quick trip back to Nazareth. Others would see this happening after the events of Matthew chapter 2 that we studied last week. You'll remember that a lot happens before they move back to live at Nazareth. The slaughter of the innocents happens. Joseph is warned by God to flee into Egypt, and they spend time in Egypt. And God, after Herod dies, he would call him back into Israel. They couldn't go to Judea, back to Bethlehem, but they would end up in Galilee in a city called Nazareth. So a lot of things have happened in this interim time between verses 38, 39, or you might say between 39 and 40. At any rate, when the wise men came to see Jesus as a young child, he was living in a house in Bethlehem. But later, after he goes into Egypt and comes back, he would live in Galilee in Nazareth because he had to be a Nazarene. All right? Everybody still with me? It's never good when we do the introduction and everybody's eyes are already glazed over. That's not a good sign. But I want you to understand the timeline, because sometimes we read, if you just read Luke's account, you're going to miss out on some of the things God gives us in Matthew's account. And so we want to get that good harmony of the Gospels. So when the wise men come, they're still in Bethlehem. Remember, they were visiting a young child, not a babe, in the house. We know that Herod had murdered all the baby boys 2 years and younger. And Joseph was warned to flee into Egypt. So only after all those who had sought to kill Jesus died did God call him back ultimately to Nazareth. So a lot of things have happened before we come to verse 40 here in our text. And so Jesus is a little bit older now. A lot of things have gone on. A lot of people wonder, how long was Jesus in Egypt? And we really don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. It was some period of time up until the death of Herod. You can study a lot of those details out, but let's pray together, and then we're going to read our text today, and we're going to learn about growing by grace the way that Jesus did. Our Heavenly Father, please bless our time in the Word today. Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I am nothing without you. I can't do anything without you, and I pray for your grace and your strength today that you'll bless your Word in spite of me. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those who are not able to be here today. Heal those who are sick and hurting and give them comfort and grace. Be with those who have lost loved ones. Continue to comfort their hearts. And Lord, please be with any who are traveling, that you'll bring them home safely. But Father, I'm thankful for all who have gathered today. that we're together in one place. I pray with one heart, with one mind, and with one accord to glorify you, God, today. I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us, that you would guide us into all truth, and Lord, that you would help us to be genuine disciples, disciples indeed, continuing in your word and bearing much fruit for your glory. Please help us to be a church where disciples are multiplied, and help us to be men and women and boys and girls who are growing by your grace in every way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, this was when Jesus was young, and he was taken back to Nazareth where he would grow up. And we have this statement about the growth of Jesus. Look at it. The child grew, that's physical growth, and waxed strong in spirit, that's spiritual growth, and in wisdom, that would be what we would call mental growth. He grew in every facet of his being as the God-man. He grew, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now look at this statement, because it's going to bookend something. Look at verse 41 now. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up together to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. So we have this statement in verse 40 of the growth of Jesus. And at the end of the chapter, verse 42, we have this statement of the growth of Jesus. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. And in between, we have this snapshot of Jesus when he was 12 years old. And this is all we have of the Lord's life from the time of his birth when he was a young child up until the time that he was around the 30 years of age when he began his public ministry. This is it. This is all we see of the Savior. But this section, this portion of Scripture is critical for us to understand who Jesus is and what he was all about. It's absolutely vital, so we don't want to skip over it and jump back into our other study. We want to make sure that we get this. And by the way, the first recorded words of our Savior are found in this text. The first words we ever have recorded of Jesus speaking are right here, and it's very telling about who he is and what he was all about. But let's walk through it. Jesus grew up physically. Back at verse 40, it said the child grew. He waxed. He grew up. He increased. I think it's critical for us to understand this humanity and growth of Jesus. And I think most of us don't have any problem understanding the physical growth of Jesus, right? Because he was born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a... And a full-grown man doesn't fit. We know that he was a baby. We know that he was born of the virgin. We know that he was an infant. We know that he was a newborn babe, right? And so we can kind of comprehend the fact that if Jesus was born as a baby, he had to grow up and become a man. So we kind of comprehend that physical growth, and we kind of accept that easily. But we need to understand today that not only was he born and laid in a manger and grew up from a baby, he grew up into a little boy who eventually grew into a full-grown man. And at some point, Jesus got as tall as he was ever going to get. Just like every other boy who's ever been born. And some of us are sad about where we stopped growing. Amen? Buddy. Some of us, our teenagers, we're wondering if they're ever going to stop growing. Right? It's easy for us to understand that Jesus grew. We can see that. We know that he came from a baby to a man. But we need to understand something today, that Jesus grew up in other ways that humans must grow up as well. Now, I want to try to help you with this today, because I think it's an understanding that most of us, I'm not sure that we've really contemplated it or studied it, but we have this idea of Jesus when he was growing up that you know, as a little boy, you know, when Mary said, "Son, go clean your room," like he went in there and just like winked or something and everything magically went to its place. Or if Jesus tried to play a sport as a little boy, that he was just like some kind of superstar. Like if Jesus had been on a little league team, he would have hit a home run every time. Always pitched a perfect game. And I think in our American Christianity, we have this idea that Jesus was just that way. And I need you to understand today, and we want to be really careful how we balance this, because Jesus was fully God. He was 100% God, and he never stopped being God in any way. Everybody with me? You got to get this, because there's dangerous heresies on both sides of this. Jesus was 100% absolutely always God. He never stopped being God. He created all things. He existed before time. He is the creator of all things. He is the Word who created everything, and there wasn't anything that created that wasn't created by Jesus. All right? But at the same time, he was 100% man. And he wasn't so much God that it diminished his humanity in any way. And he wasn't so much human, so much man, that it diminished his godness in any way. And listen, if you're sitting there this morning and go, "Oh yeah, I know that. I completely understand it." Well, I'd like for you to explain it to me after the service so I can do better next time I preach this. But for me, it's beyond our comprehension. How could he be fully man and fully God at exactly the same time? We talked about in our Sunday school a little bit. Like, how could he be 100% God and 100% man? Somebody's like, "Well, he's 200%. Right? Well, he's God, and it's a miraculous thing. We don't really understand it, but it's important that we believe it, because he had to be fully God and fully man to be the Savior of the world. He couldn't come and do the Father's will that he lived for without being fully God and fully man. So, I don't believe this idea that Jesus just miraculously, magically did everything perfect his whole life. We know that he didn't sin, but I think Jesus had to learn how to crawl. Like, he wasn't just born one day and all of a sudden he could run around the room. Like every other person, he had to learn to crawl. And I imagine that Mary and Joseph probably giggled at Jesus when he was first learning how to crawl, and he probably scooted backwards at first before he started going forwards. Your kids ever do that? And he probably had to learn how to pull up and stand up, and he took those first few tentative steps as he learned how to, Jesus learned how to walk. There were probably times that Jesus was led around by Mary, holding on to her finger. Jesus, as he was growing up, probably fell and skinned his knee. I just want you to understand that he was a man. He was a boy. He was a baby. He had to grow up in every way. Now, here's the problem that I think we struggle with a little bit here. But listen, the Bible says here in verse 40, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Look at what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Here in Luke 2, verse 40, we're speaking of Jesus. In Luke 1 and verse 80, it's speaking of John the Baptist. And it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." You know, the scriptures use the same phrase to describe to us how John the Baptist grew up as it does to describe how Jesus grew up. What's it tell you? It tells us that Jesus grew up just like John did, just like everybody else did. He waxed strong in spirit. This phrase, waxed strong, that's in our text here, is used only four times in the New Testament. One is in Luke 1:80, where we just read, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. It's used here in our text, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And listen to these other two places where it's used. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. We're instructed, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Jesus waxed strong. John the Baptist waxed strong. This is the command that the scriptures give us, that we're to wax strong or to be strong. And check this out, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, that's our phrase, wax strong, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So what am I trying to tell you? That Jesus was our example in every way. And just like Jesus grew up physically, he also waxed strong in spirit. And that's something that you and I are supposed to do as well. We're supposed to grow up, wax strong, be strengthened, be strong spiritually, just like John the Baptist was and just like Jesus was. They were growing up. They were being strengthened in the spirit. And God would call us to do the same, to be strong, to be strengthened by the spirit in the inner man. So he grew up physically. He grew up spiritually. How did that happen? Well, it happened by the grace of God. How did it happen for Jesus? It happened the same way it happened for John the Baptist. How does it happen for him? It happened the same way for him as he expects it to happen for us, that the Spirit of God working in us would give us strength, would help us to wax stronger and stronger in faith. Now let me ask you a question. Has the degree of the strength in your inner man, your spiritual man, the inner person, has that, the strength of your inner man, changed over the course of your Christian life? Can you remember times when your inner man, your spirit, was not as strong? And has it been times that God has worked through circumstances of your life and the power of his spirit in your life to strengthen your faith, to strengthen you in the inner man, in the spirit? See, most of you that have been saved for a little while can see that it's changed. And if you're really honest, there are times when your spirit, the inner man, is stronger, and it doesn't just keep going up and up and up. There are times that it wanes. There are times when our inner man is weaker than at other times. We read these words, wax strong, and we don't really talk like that, except when we're talking about the moon. You ever hear somebody say the moon is waxing or the moon is waning? What are we talking about? Well, it's a new moon. You can't see it at all. And then it waxes to a full moon. It grows into a full moon. And then it wanes to a new moon again. Everybody still with me? This waxing and waning is not something we think about in our spirit, but that's exactly the language the scripture uses to describe it. And here's the idea. We would get stronger and stronger and stronger in spirit. Jesus continued to increase in the spirit. And where we tend to go up and down and up and down, he continued to grow. So what's the challenge for us is to continue to grow. And isn't it amazing how fast it is that when we gain strength, it's easy to lose? It's a new year. Anybody have any New Year's resolutions? Anybody, would you just be brave enough to raise your hand if you did a New Year's resolution this year? I only see two hands. Why is it that you guys quit doing New Year's resolutions? Huh? Because they fail? They fail. It's their fault. Okay, how about this? How many of you used to do New Year's resolutions? You've had them in the past. Yeah, we used to do them. We do them because you want to do better in the new year. Don't you want to do better this year than you did last year? I mean, and most of it, if we're honest, a lot of it has to do with, things being better. I want to make more money, and I want to save and invest more money. I want to be healthier. I want to be more fit. Anybody want to be more fit? Let me tell you, if you don't stick with it, what happens? If you don't use it, you know, we see that physically. It's amazing how long it takes for those of you who like to lift weights and things, like if you're keeping track, like how long it takes to add an inch of muscle, like how much work and effort it takes to gain that, and how quick it is to lose, how easy it is to lose. It's crazy. You know, spiritually, we want to gain strength spiritually. And it takes a lot of prayer, and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of yielding to God that His Spirit would work. But we want to keep increasing. We don't want to slide back. We want to keep moving to higher ground, not sinking to lower ground. We want to keep moving forward and not moving back. Jesus waxed strong in the Spirit. And then also in wisdom, He was filled with wisdom. This means to be made full with wisdom. It indicates that this was something that continued. It wasn't that the Spirit of God just poured wisdom into Jesus and filled Him up all at once. Like, He wasn't born as an infant with infinite omniscient knowledge. Now, be careful here. I'm not saying that He was any way diminished as God, but Philippians 2 tells us that He set aside the prerogatives of His deity in His godness. He chose to live as a human being. He didn't fully incorporate all of His omniscience, knowing everything as a human being. He decided that He would learn and that He would grow. And so Jesus was filled with wisdom. Jesus had to learn things. Jesus had to go to temple and synagogue and hear the scriptures so that He could learn the scriptures. He didn't just choose to do that miraculously to be born with that knowledge. He chose to learn and to grow. And I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to understand. But just like Jesus had to learn to walk and then to run, He had to learn the things of God. He had to learn. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 5:8, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus had to experience suffering so that He could learn obedience. What does that mean? Jesus knew what God the Father wanted Him to do, but He actually had to go through doing it, endure doing it. He had to learn to do what God the Father wanted Him to do, even though it was hard. You know, living the Christian life isn't easy. I'd say it's impossible. You literally can't do it on your own. And Jesus learned obedience. What did He learn? He learned that through pain and suffering and sorrow, He had to depend on His Father and the power of the Holy Spirit in Him to do what God called Him to do. And the same is an example for you and I. So He grew up physically. He grew up in spirit. He grew up in wisdom. He grew up in wisdom. This is an amazing statement that Jesus would increase in wisdom. That there was a level of wisdom that He had, and as He grew physically, as He grew up as a young man, He increased in wisdom. It was by degrees that He learned. And we know that He was the wisest man who ever lived. You say, well, what about Solomon? I thought Solomon was the wisest that ever lived. Except for Jesus, He was. Because Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, Matthew 12:42, Jesus says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew beyond the wisdom of everyone alive in His day. He grew beyond the wisdom of all the kings before Him, Solomon included. Jesus increased in wisdom, was filled with wisdom beyond the point of any other person who ever lived. And so even though He was fully man, he was growing beyond the capacity of other men because of His capacity as God. So there you see both His humanness and His godness. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, Matthew 13:54 says, and when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The wisdom of Jesus was astonishing to them. They knew it was beyond what any other person had wisdom, but rather than causing that truth to turn them to Christ, it actually turned them away from him. What a tragedy. I pray that exactly the opposite thing happens today. When you see the wisdom of Christ and how he grew in wisdom, it doesn't turn you away from him, but it brings you to him. That you can know him and that you can see his goodness and his love and see what he did so that you could know him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. In him is wisdom. Like all wisdom that you're ever going to get, you're going to learn from faith in Christ. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the wisdom that Christ has, he gives to those who trust in him. So he wants you to grow in wisdom as well. So he grew up physically, he grew up in spirit, he grew up in wisdom, that Sophia, that mental knowledge. And listen, wisdom is knowledge applied. It's the application of God's truths. It's not just knowing them, it's actually doing them. So he grew in that wisdom, and he did it by grace. We read, the grace of God was upon him. We read at verse 52, and he grew in favor, that's the same word, grace, with God and man. Jesus Christ had the grace of God on his life. And you and I can have the grace of God in our lives. Isn't that what the angel said to Mary? Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. That grace and favor, it's the same word. She's found grace with God, favor with God. And look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were praising God and they had grace, not just from God, but with all people. So the grace and favor that Jesus had in his life is available to those who follow him today. Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Was God's grace on Jesus? Say, absolutely. And we would look at his life and say, yeah, man, we look at him and we say we're to be perfect even as he is perfect. We're to walk in his steps as he left as an example. And some of you say, I could never do that because it's Jesus. I mean, he's Jesus. He's God. I can't do that. But you need to understand today that he was born as a human and he grew up as a human and he lived as a human. And all that he did as a human being, he did it according to the will of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it in his omniscience and omnipresence and his all-powerfulness as God. He did it as a human who was dependent on his Father and his Holy Spirit. It's critical that you get this. Why? Because he expects us to walk in his steps. You can't say, oh, I can't because I'm not Jesus. Because he has given you everything that he lived by. Okay? Do you know the will of your Father? Okay, can you know the will of your Heavenly Father? Is it possible for every believer in the room and watching online, is it possible for us to know God's will for our lives? Well, I should think so. He's given us the scriptures. And God's will for our lives is much the same in so many ways, except in the details. So I can know the will of the Father. I know he wants me to trust in his son, Jesus. I know that he wants me to be baptized after I've been saved. I know that he wants me to not forsake the assembling of the saints. I know that he wants me to walk with him day by day, to continue in his word. I know that he wants me to be a witness for him. There's a lot of things that I know are God's will for my life, and you do too. So you can know God's will for your life. Can you be empowered by the Spirit of God to do God's will? Can you, individually, each and every one of you, can you walk in the power of the Spirit of God? So the whole point that we're trying to learn from this passage is this. Jesus was born and grew and lived as a human being, and he did it according to the will of his Father by the power of the Spirit, and you and I are expected to do the same because we've been equipped to do the same. He's given you the Scriptures. If you're saved, he's given you his Spirit. You know the Father's will, and you have the power. You've been strengthened to do the Father's will, and we can walk in the example that he has given to us. How did he do it? By the grace of God. How are we to do it? By the grace of God. He grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It's an amazing thing to me to recognize that Jesus grew up in all these ways, spiritually, physically, mentally, and then to know that the grace that was on him is the same grace that's been poured out on us. Isn't that amazing? And that in the same way that Jesus grew up, you and I can grow up too. And some of you are looking at me like, well, Pastor, I'm kind of already grown. All my growing's out now, not up. But are we ever done growing spiritually? Are we ever going to hit our limit in wisdom? Or can God continue to fill us up? So we want to grow. I heard a pastor say, talking about some of the heresies that people come up with. A group of people years ago said that Jesus was only God. He was never really man, because they believed that the physical, the material, was evil. So Jesus couldn't have a fleshly body. He couldn't have flesh and blood, because that's evil. And so the holy God could never occupy a human body. So there's heresy on that side. There's other people who lean the other way. They would say, well, he was a man. He was so much man that there's no way he could be God. He became a God, but he was never God. So there's heresies on both sides. And a preacher said, there are people with closed Bibles, empty heads, and fantastic imaginations. God help us not to be any of that. Let's don't be closed Bibles and empty heads and fantastic imaginations. Let's be open Bibles. Minds, heads filled with the wisdom of God, the knowledge of his Son. And let's not have fantastic imaginations. Let's not have vain imaginations. But let's have the knowledge of God in our hearts and minds today. Let's stand together. As we get ready for a song of invitation, we're going to pray together, and then we'll sing. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time together in your word. I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts. Pray that you'd help us to grow up in Christ, that we, as we have grown up and our children continue to grow up physically, that we might all grow up spiritually, strengthened with might in the inner man by your grace, that you'd help us to grow and be filled up with wisdom, increase to the full with the wisdom and knowledge of Christ our Savior. Lord, I pray if anyone hearing this message has never been saved, that today they would trust in Christ alone as their Savior. The saved would follow you in baptism and identify with you publicly in that way, following Jesus' example there. And Lord, that all of us would die to ourselves and be filled with your Spirit day by day. Please help, Lord. Let your will be done in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 560.